The question is this: is trusting Jesus really enough? Is Jesus really able to provide all that we need in the Christian life? Do we not need something more than Jesus? Now, perhaps you remember, Jesus sent his disciples out to preach. They've been with him some time. They have learned some things. So now it's time for them to do some serving. And they've preached the kingdom of God. They performed miracles in his name because he gave them that power. And now they're back. And, Katihu, Tuli Soma, Wiki, Ulio Peter, Johanne, ya Baptist, Alikufa. He died at the hands of King Herod. And at this time, that sad news came to them also. Now, verse 30. The disciples returned. They came back to Jesus. They told him all that they had done and all that they had taught. Jesus sends his servants out to serve him. And at the end, they must report to him and tell him of their service. At the end of each day, can you remember what you've done? And can you tell Jesus and ask him to bless it? And can you repent of those things in which you failed? At the end of our lives, we must give a report to Jesus of what we have done, whether we have been faithful servants or not. Well, they come back and they're tired. Look at verse 31. So many people were coming and going. They didn't have a chance to eat. Jesu elisema, kujanami. Come by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. They were tired from their serving of the Lord. Have you ever been tired from your serving of the Lord? Jesus calls us, well, we have the day of rest. Here it's Sunday and we're resting and we're learning. But then in the week we go out, go to our different places where he's put us to serve him. And can you say, I'm glad for the day of rest today, because I've been tired from serving Jesus? Now, there are two ways we can go wrong. Perhaps you're never tired from serving Jesus, because you don't do anything to serve him. You can't say, you know, in my household as a father, as a husband, I've been serving Jesus. In my place of work, I've worked hard to obey Jesus. Perhaps you can't say, as a mother, as a wife, or as a single person, as a student, I'm tired because I've been serving Jesus. Well, that's a sin of laziness. But on the other hand, some people never rest. Some people think it's a great thing if they work themselves down to nothing. They work themselves, we say, into the grave. In England, we call them workaholics. So you know what an alcoholic is. But some people are workaholics, and they think they'll earn something very great from God if they never rest. But Jesus said to his disciples, come to a quiet place, get some rest. Workers need rest. As a Christian, you should be gradually wearing yourself out. However many years God gives you, you're gradually wearing yourselves out through those years until at last you rest with him in heaven. Is that what you're doing with your life? Well, that was the plan, but it didn't work. Look at verses 32 and 33. So actually, my first point is to look at Jesus' compassion. We've seen his kindness to his disciples. But now we see this plan didn't work. They went, verse 32, by the boat in Jili Ingini, Linasema Kwamba Mahali Palekua Bethsaida. Just says here it was a solitary place. But verse 33, many saw him. They knew him. Oh, that's Jesus. And what did they do? Oh, they ran. Walikimbia. on foot from all the towns, and they got there ahead of him. Now we know from, especially John's gospel, many of these people, they didn't truly believe in Jesus. And many of them, Jesus had to say, you're just following me because of earthly things, because of food, because you've seen miracles, but you don't yet know that I'm sent from the Father. You haven't really trusted in me. You haven't feasted upon me as the Saviour. But these people, they ran to Jesus. They ran to be ministered to by him. Oh, what a rebuke to us if we say that we love Jesus, yet we're slow to follow him. What a rebuke to us if we're slow to be where there's teaching and where there's ministry and where there's fellowship. What a rebuke to us if we are slouching, if we're crawling, if we're only reaching the place where God's people are meeting, oh, sometime late, and we haven't really thought about what we're doing. We're still mostly in our beds at home, sleeping, really, in our minds. Well, these people ran to receive from Jesus. Now, what would you say? You're tired. You've been working and serving. And just had this terrible news. John the Baptist has been killed, that faithful servant of God. And now these crowds come. Just at this time. Oh, please. Rudeni badaye. Kesho labda. You know, tumechoka. I'd certainly be tempted. More than tempted, I think. But Jesus didn't. Look at verse 34. Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Well, these were Israelites. Jesus had been sent first amongst the nation of Israel. And these Israelites had not been taught by their leaders. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had led them all the wrong way. Were not leading them to heaven, but were leading them to trust in themselves or leading them to unbelief. They didn't know where to go. They didn't know how to find the way to the Father. They're just like sheep with no shepherd, wandering about. And they're getting scattered, one this way, one that way. They won't find their way back to the fold. Jesus had compassion on them. That word compassion, which we have in verse 34, means pity. It means he felt sorry for them. It means inside he was moved when he saw them and saw their need. Oh, surely we should pray, Lord, give me compassion for people who don't know you. Lord, Eldoret has, 400, 500,000 people? How many of them know the right way? If they're sheep, how many of them are going towards the fold, going towards the place of safety? How many of them know Jesus and are following him? Shouldn't we pray that God would give us compassion so that we'll serve them, so that we'll take the gospel to them? And so we won't say, oh, Tosha, I've done enough. But so that we'll say, I'm tired, but here's need, and so I'll serve. What do? Somebody comes to your door. It's late in the day, and the day's been long. The day's had problems. Maybe the day's had grief. What will you say when you see their need? Will you be like Jesus? Because when he saw them, he cancelled the rest. And he said, what can I do for you? Now look at verse 34. Alianza kufundisha vitu vingi. How do people find their way to God? They hear the word of God. They receive teaching. Music doesn't lead people to God. Even miracles, if we had them, wouldn't lead people to God. And baptism is not the door that brings you to God. Though it's commanded for those who have been saved. But it's teaching. When you can hear the words of God, when God can say, Hapa ni njia, tembea njia hi. Teaching. Are you hungry to receive the words of God? Well, Jesus' compassion moved him to serve these people when he saw them. Now let's come to verses 35 onwards. And here's our second point. This is Jesus' test. This is the test which Jesus gave. Well, it seems that this teaching went on long. Verse 35, it became late. And then the disciples came to Jesus. They said, look, this is far from the towns and from the shops. The day is gone. But these people have not eaten. Surely we need to send them back so that they can get something. Otherwise they'll be falling over, they'll be fainting. Well, I wonder why the disciples said that. Were they hoping now for their rest? The crowds could be sent away? Or were the disciples having compassion? But they were thinking more of the needs of the body than the needs of the soul? Well, we just know what they said. Jesus, though, he says, you give them something to eat. That's verse 37. What an impossible request. 12 disciples. And we're told later, verse 44, 5,000 men, as well as women, as well as children. And Jesus says, well, you give them something to eat. 5,000 just of the men. Jesus keeps asking people to do impossible things. We open the scriptures and we read God's commands and it seems like it's full of impossible things. And don't people think when they hear what's being preached, they say, this is going to make me poor. This is going to make me unpopular. I'm going to lose jobs. I'm going to lose money. I'm going to lose friends. I'm going to have trouble in the family and in the clan if I do this. Jesus is really asking me something impossible. And so they said, verse 37, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are you really asking us to go and spend that much on bread and give it them to eat? Well, Jesus never said anything about spending. When Jesus asks you to do something impossible, do you start thinking, how can I do this? Let me look at my strength. Let me look at my resources. Let me look at my wisdom. And let's see if I can do it or not. And then we say, oh, Paulie, it's impossible, I can't do that. Well, that seems to be the way the disciples were going here. But Jesus asked them another question, verse 38. How many loaves do you have? Go and see. Again, what a question. Does it matter how many loaves they have? The people are thousands and thousands. Look, perhaps we got a loaf over there and a loaf over there. But really, what's the point in counting them? Surely it can't be enough. But what Jesus wants is that we hear his commands and we obey them. The task may seem far too great, but Jesus wants that we start doing it. His instructions may seem they're going to cause us a great deal of difficulty. And we think, if we start, can we finish? Jesus wants that we start. Don't ask the question, can we finish? Jesus has told you what to do. You start doing it. And so verse 38, they do it. They obeyed. They found out and they came and they said, well, it's 5 loaves. Not just 5 loaves, though, 2 fish. 2 fish as well, Samaki and Billy. Jesus gives them another instruction, verse 39. Have them all sit. They sit in a group of hundreds and fifties. Here's 50 here, here's 100 there. Well, it seems they passed Jesus' test. So far, they've obeyed him. Of course, they've known something about Jesus already. They've already seen him at work. So they trust him, though it seems ridiculous, it seems stupid. But they trust him. Labda una rafiki na wakati moja unahitaji kuenda mahali na ni mahali Hunajua. You don't know this place. Lakini Rafiki anasemba endahapa, nahapa, nahapa. He gives you the instructions. Perhaps you arrive there in the dark. You can't even see any signs on the road. You can't see any people to ask. And you're thinking, labda ninahitaji kurudi. But you know your friend. He said, go this way, then this way, then this way. You can trust him, even in the dark, because he's proved a friend to you. Well, that's what we have to do. Often, as Christians, it seems we're going in the dark. But we've got somebody who's told us. He's given us the instructions. So don't say, I think I need to go back. But say, Jesus has told me, so let me go this way and this way, because he won't let me down. Let me obey him. So you be a faithful wife, be a faithful mother, be a faithful father or husband. Be an honest student when you're doing your exams. We know the temptations that come. We know what the teachers can say. And you'll be thinking, I can't pass my course unless I do what is asked. I can't get my certificate unless I do this. But Jesus has said, walk in the way of truth. Trust him, even in the dark. At your place of work, you're thinking, I need to make some more money out of this customer. Somehow I need to tell him something so I can put the price up, because I can't pay my rent. Trust Jesus in the dark. Trust him when you can't see what's going to happen. Trust him. It's Jesus' test. He tested his disciples. They passed the test. So what happens next? Well, we come to verses 41 to 44. And this is our third point. It's to see Jesus providing, Jesus' provision. They sit down. And now they're waiting. Well, perhaps you've heard a story. It's very well known in churches in England. There was a man who ran an orphanage. In that time, there were many orphanages in England. And they had no food for the meal. All the children sat down. And they were waiting. And there was no food. They didn't know. But the man, his name was George Mueller, he said, let's give thanks for the food. So they all gave thanks for the food. And when he finished, there was a knock on the door. It was the baker. He said, I had lots of spare today. Could you use it? Would you have a place for it? And they thought, yes, thank you. So they took the baker's loaves and they had their food. Well, something like that here, really, isn't it? Now, I can't promise you miracles if you don't have food when you sit down at your table. But here's what happened. He took the 5 loaves, he took the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, he gave thanks, and he broke them. He looked up to heaven. Jesus is the one who came from heaven. He was the favorite of heaven, the Son of God. He was the one doing the work of heaven. And so he looked to that place, and he gave thanks, and he broke the loaves. And we know what happened. We know that Jesus provided. He gave it to his disciples. They gave it to the people. They all ate, verse 42. And they were all satisfied. There it was. The problem was given to Jesus. And Jesus, who is the Son of God, gave to everybody. Jesus provided. And that's really the great teaching of these verses. The great teaching is, don't look with these eyes. Look with the eyes of faith, because Jesus will provide. Even if it comes to the very last minute, Jesus will provide. Now, are we talking about food? Are we saying you'll never lack any meal? You'll never go hungry? But Jesus is showing what he does for the soul. Jesus is showing what he does for your spiritual needs. Now we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And the scriptures say that God will not suffer his people to starve. You won't perish through hunger if you faithfully walk. God will find the way. But this is showing what Jesus does for the soul. What are the needs of your soul? Are you worried? You trust in Jesus. Are you afraid about the future? You pray to Jesus about the future. Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you thinking you've had enough? Well, the Bible promises that God gives more strength and says that those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. Is there some task which is too much for you and you think, I can't do this? The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whatever spiritual need you have, it is met in Jesus. There was a woman in the Old Testament who had run out of food. She was a widow, so there was no man to provide for her. And she had a son to feed as well. But the prophet came to her and he said, this cruse of oil which you have, this container of oil, that's all you have, but it will never go empty. There was a famine at that time, but he said, it will never go empty until there's bread again. And so it was. She kept pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. Every time she would have looked at it, she would have said, it's only so much, you know, I can measure it. It comes up to here. But every time she poured, there was still more. And that's how it is with Jesus. Your problems, it seems they'll never end. And your strength, it seems only so much. But if you keep trusting in Jesus, you can keep pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. You really can. Well, in this, Jesus revealed himself. He revealed who he is. And that's all that Mark's gospel has been saying in these chapters so far. Labda unaweza kukumbuka kwamba palikuwa muda watu wa Israel walikuwa wakikaa in the wilderness na wali hitaji chakula pia. And you remember that they were given food from heaven. That they were all fed by the manna. Muda wa miaka arubaini. They received that food which came from heaven. That was when they were led by Moses. But it wasn't Moses who took bread in his hands and multiplied it. Moses was just their leader, the one through whom God spoke. But you see, Jesus, here he has watu wa Israel, tena, in the wilderness. And they're hungry. And he feeds them all, again. And it's food that comes from heaven. But this time there's a difference. It's actually multiplied as it comes through the hands of Jesus himself. Jesus is not just the representative. He's not just the speaker like Moses was. But because Jesus is the one whose hands made the world, and his hands made the sky and the earth, and his hands made food and drink, all the things that grow and all the things that are, so he does this miracle a different way. This miracle was different. It was better. It was greater than what Moses did. So that you might know that Jesus himself is the Creator. He's the Son of God. He's the one who's come down from heaven. He's not telling us to go to some other person like Moses told them to follow Jehovah. Jesus himself is Jehovah. And that's why you can always trust in Jesus. And it will never run out. Moses was a man full of strength. And he was still strong when he was 120 years old. But he died. But the strength of Jesus will never run out. You can always trust in him. Look at verse 43. The disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. Was there enough? No, there wasn't enough. There was more than enough. They had so much left over that they could gather up 12 baskets. How many tribes are there in Israel? There are 12. How many baskets? 12. Because God, through Jesus, provides for all of his people, and then he provides more than his people could ever need. You can't say, my problem's too big for God. So you can say, God is too big for my problem. You can't say that God won't be able to do this. God will be able to do far, far more. All you must do is trust him. Hold on. Obey him. Verse 44. 5,000 men. If the whole of Eldoret came to God today, God can cure all of their souls today. If the whole of Kenya cries out today for forgiveness and mercy, God can give them forgiveness and mercy and take us all to heaven. You can always trust Jesus. After thousands have done it, there's still plenty left over for you if you'll trust him. So, the only questions really, have you been to Jesus? Our great need isn't to eat fish and bread, is it? It's to have spiritual life. It's to know God. It's to walk with God. Where can we get it? Where can my sins be taken away? Do I need to build my way up to heaven? Do I need to dig my way down to find it somewhere? No, you just need to go to Jesus and to ask him. He's full of compassion. He's full of pity. You may be full of sin, and you know that God hates sin. But yet, as well as being full of hatred for sin, he's full of mercy and kindness. And he won't turn you away. He won't say, ah, I'm tired. I'm tired of you. I've had enough. You know, I've done enough in this place. He won't say it. His compassion has no end. Have you been to him? That's the only question. Or are you still saying, I can't go there, I need to go here. I need to hold on to my sins. You know, if I become honest, I'll become poor. You know, if I become godly, I'll have so many problems. I can't do that. No, you can. Jesus has enough for you. You just need to go to him. Go from your sins. Go to him. Trust in him. The disciples didn't have to do some great work. They just had to believe what Jesus was telling them. Do you feel, we say, run down in your spiritual life? Do you feel you become weak? You've run out of strength? Well, Jesus has that strength. Have you been to him? You who've just been baptized, I want you never to forget this. Don't forget this. That in all your Christian life, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is the one who supplies all that you need and more. It looks impossible, but don't worry. Jesus, his hands made the world. His hands made you. His hands made the place you are in. And so he can't find some problem he can't solve. He's the Lord of it all. Jesus does all. Our command is that we trust him. Amen.